if we're really going to take care of patients effectively, you're going to need to communicate with the outside world. An API-first world is going to happen in healthcare for the people who are successful healthcare providers and payers.
Welcome to Season 2 of Industry Perspectives, coming to you from HIMSS 2024 in Orlando, Florida. I'm Kelsey Woodill, Multimedia Manager and Managing Editor at Xtelligent Healthcare. API adoption is essential and required in many areas of healthcare today. Nevertheless, healthcare professionals continue to experience roadblocks. What role do APIs play in healthcare, and what needs to change about healthcare stakeholders' collaboration in order to take full advantage of this technology? Learn all this and more on today's episode with Dr. Don Rucker, Chief Strategy Officer at OneUp Health and former National Coordinator for Health Information Technology.
Dr. Don Rucker, how are you? What have you been up to since you used to be in the ONC days, back when I first interviewed you? What are you up to nowadays?
Yeah, hey, Kyle. So I'm Chief Strategy Officer at OneUp Healthcare. We're a fire data in the cloud. We're implementing in the API world, the CMS APIs, payer-patient, payer-provider, payer-payer, and of course, all the back-end cloud computing that is now available in Flare. So really, just the logical outgrowth of the Cures Act rulemaking I had the opportunity to work on with the ONC team.
Awesome. Let's talk about APIs. Before we get into an API first world in healthcare, let's just talk about how APIs are really powering a lot of the interoperability we see in other aspects of our lives.
Yeah. So API, application programming interface. So the software that bridges between two pieces of other software, basically, it's the world we live in. You look at a smartphone and you see all those little icons.
Yep.
Those little icons are just placeholders for APIs back to enterprise servers.
Yep.
And it's a sea of those, right? So, we're interviewing here at HIMSS in Orlando, and if you flew down on your airline app, those APIs are talking to, their server that has, is the flight on time, probably talking indirectly to servers at the airport, to the seat, to how much you paid for your seat, what they're trying to sell you, buy some more internet, something, right? It's all an API world. We haven't had that in healthcare. For the most part, we've had monolithic documentation-centric EHRs on the provider side, and on the payer side, we've had, these sort of claims engines and affiliated databases. But if we're really going to take care of patients effectively, and not just when they're in the office visit, and certainly not just when they're sitting in the ICU, you're going to need to communicate with the outside world. An API-first world is going to happen in healthcare for the people who are successful healthcare providers and payers.
Kind of like status check, where are we in terms of progress, in terms of adoption and implementation of APIs in healthcare? You mentioned Fire. Fire obviously came in. Quick adoption, got the federal government seal of approval, more or less. But where are we now, and then where do we need to go? What are the next steps?
Yeah, so FHIR, Fast Healthcare Interoperability Resources, is the first time you can really put truly clinical stuff into the API payload, right? In the past, we've been able to put lab results or imaging results, which are very tightly defined machine-generated results, right? The radiologist or the radiology tech is not diddling with the pixels to generate an MRI,
right?
Clinicians are diddling with the pixels to write a note,
correct,
or to generate a code, or to process a code, or today to do prior auth or quality measurement. So having FHIR as an enabler for all of that allows it, and as you might imagine, the adoption is pretty rapid. NCQA is going there. I was just at a session where the Undersecretary of Health for the VA spoke.
Yes.
They now have APIs in EHRs to tell whether somebody's eligible for veterans benefits, things like Agent Orange. And of course, the CMS rule with prior auth, which is a huge bugaboo. And, maybe in a negative sense, as we're sitting here with one of the clearinghouses not being able to process a large transfer pharmacy claims, that's all API stuff. Yeah. You know, so maybe you could say work needed or security, you know, I'm not sure we know what the issue is there, but it shows the importance of APIs even today for some of the classic show me the money kind of transactions.
100%. I mean, it's shown a light on just how easy of a roadblock you can get by just squeezing that one pipe. I'm curious about what
of course, you know, people say, well, maybe I'm not ready for APIs. But don't forget, the comparison is to faxing something, right? So just let's be clear what the comparison is here.
What are some easy wins in terms of, like, think about maybe, I would say patient-centered, but also provider-centered when it comes to APIs. I know there's no shortage of data out there, but the connection points aren't necessarily always being made easily.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously we have huge incentives for delivery systems to not share information, right? Our current American payment model is to make sure that high margin profits from, you know, cardiology, neurology, potentially oncology, that business never, quote, leaks out of the system, right? So the dominant economic incentive for delivery systems is to not share information. We just have to be real about that. That's not patient-centric. It's not payer-centric, payers being, you know, employers or individuals or taxpayers most of the time. But that's the system we have. So, you know, we're, you know, forcing some of these on. To your question, I think the real thing is, how do we reuse these APIs and the data made available, right? I think for your audience, the trick is to be smart. Mm-hmm. So, and some folks are very smart on that. And, you know, some folks are not really. I mean, we have, I'm not going to mention the agency, but one public health agency has a vast sea of individual duplicative reporting requirements when our health information exchanges could provide all of that for them elegantly. So we have to be smart about it. The winners are going to be the people who use the data. And, you know, cloud makes this really powerful. You have one platform with all kinds of analytics. You can stand up whatever APIs you want, as long as you've been smart about defining security and, you know, observability and governance.
How do you build those kind of partnerships, those collaborations? Obviously, you're talking about APIs, so the technology is there, but I imagine you're talking about those larger forces at play. How do you bring the right people to the table? I mean, you were a national coordinator. You were coordinating folks.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, how does that happen to really push things forward?
We're very lucky to have a number of consortia that really work on this and that have done, you know, really extraordinary work. Weedy for a long time has done extraordinary work. HL7 has been the absolute champion in all of these things at every stage of the way, V2, V3, now with FHIR. Mm-hmm. HL7 is doing some great stuff with the FHIR accelerators, you know, DaVinci and FAST, most notably for true economic impact. The Karen Alliance has done great stuff in exposing some of the things like eligibility as a sort of financial resource to be a measure of value coverage. And so there's some just great groups that are doing a lot of work. And for the audience, you have access to that work through implementation guides.
Yes.
You know, and now you read an HL7 implementation guide and you might think this is better than Ambien. I'm not endorsing Ambien. I don't take Ambien. I know people who have.
Yeah.
But the reality is there's extraordinary wisdom on how to think about healthcare. So you don't have to worry if you're not the engineer on, you know, is it a one-to-one field or one-to-many field? But you should absolutely read through what are the fields? You know, how do I put a query together?
Yeah.
Right? You're a data analyst. This is a great checklist on how do I do a query? Have I factored in all the things? I mean, this is paint by numbers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the first blush, very dry. Second blush, oh my God, this is valuable. So for folks in the audience, HL7, just Google HL7 FHIR implementation guide. You can do CDEX, PDEX, DaVinci, whatever. you know, there are a lot of them.
They're all out there. And then last question is, what are your advice for, you know, health IT professionals in terms of, I would say, you know, you want to work with developers, you want to bring more people into this space, because kind of coming full circle, we have consumer side, we have all these apps and it's all these brilliant minds that you can finally get to tap into things. I think you already shouted out HL7, but, you know, how should they think about, you know, working with APIs, working with data going forward?
You know, and there's some political controversy, right? I think there's some steps backward, frankly, like TEFCA, that are going back into 1990s document things and trying to graft fire onto APIs that don't really work and at great expense. But the entire internet, every app on your phone, is using a RESTful API, right? That is the modern standard. It has enabled essentially the entire smartphone economy, right? And what RESTful, you know, representational state transfer, is just saying, I'm not going to make a big glob of data and what to do with the data. I'm just going to have data. I'm going to get it and put it. It's a little thing in the URL on your browser, if you look for a second before they repaint it.
Yep.
If you just have that, you know, pay attention. And that's what drives the world. So I think if you're smart as a product manager, as an executive, as a tech person, you'll look at your data from the lens of RESTful. And of course, then JSON, JavaScript object notation, on which FHIR is based, is just the FHIR version of JSON. And those things go together, you know, the pea in the pod type of thing. The benefit is really when they're together. That's, of course, the challenge for TEFCA, you know, so to get the guilds to do brokering, first they tried the old stuff and now they're trying to graft it. But if you don't have the right API, you're missing the modernity of it. And that's essentially what the difference is between the 1990s internet and the 2020 internet, are these highly powerful atomic APIs. And so whatever your corner of the healthcare world is, you should be thinking atomic RESTful transactions, how would they change my business, you know, my corner of the sandbox.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Don, for checking in with us.
Thanks.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, our pleasure.
Wish you a good conference. Hope you enjoy yourself. Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for joining us on Healthcare Strategies Industry Perspectives. When you get a chance, subscribe to our channels on Spotify and Apple and leave us a review to let us know what you think of this new series. More industry perspectives are on the way, so stay tuned.
This is a Tech Target production.